Welcome to the podcast edition of Coaching Through Chaos, bringing you what you need to succeed. And now, here is your host, Dr. Colleen Mullen.
Hi, and welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Colleen Mullen, helping you navigate the chaos in your life. Often, it's beneficial to understand our chaos or our tendency towards it in order to overcome it. In today's episode, I get a bit more insight into my attraction to chaos. This episode was such a different experience for me. You know, I spend my days working one-on-one with clients seeking therapy, so I'm usually the one helping them gain insights into their behaviors. But today, the tables were turned on me. My guest today is my good friend, fellow podcaster, and certified Strengths Finder coach, Alyssa Dare Nelson. Alyssa hosts the Maximize Your Strengths podcast, and if you're a fan of John Lee Dumas, an entrepreneur on fire, you may actually recognize Alyssa from her recent appearance on that show, in which she shared her experience utilizing JLD's Mastery Journal to meet her goals. In this interview, you'll find out what exactly the Strengths Finder assessment is, why you can trust it, and how it can benefit you. Listen in as Alyssa schools me on how I can best use my top five strengths. She also helps me understand how to make up for my weakest traits, and maybe even gives me a little bit better understanding of why I gravitate towards chaos. This was a lot of fun, and I learned quite a bit about myself. I'm hoping you benefit by listening in as Alyssa guides me. Here we go. So I'm here with Alyssa Dare Nelson of Dare to Succeed Coaching in St. Paul, Minnesota. And Alyssa, thank you so much for being on the Coaching Through Chaos podcast.
Well, thanks, Colleen, for having me. It's really, really great to be here.
So Alyssa, you offer several services like individual and group coaching, but you also venture into the corporate world and do employee engagement coaching. And I know that you also have a special niche that you'd like to let us know about. Tell me what that is.
Yeah. So my favorite of all groups to work with is actually the married business partnership. And that's because I feel very, very passionate about strong and healthy marriages. And I feel equally as passionate about small businesses growing and thriving. And so I actually went through a point in my business where I waffled, do I need to go into marriage coaching because I have such a strong passion for it and the StrengthsFinder profile is so applicable inside of marriage, but I just could not give up the coaching of businesses. And married business partnerships are all over the place, whether they're partners on paper or not. This happens all the time in very small businesses. And to see people come to me where they can hardly stand looking at their spouse and they're so stressed and their business is stressed and their marriage is stressed to a session or two in and all of a sudden they like each other again and their business is actually starting to move forward. It's so rewarding to see that accomplishment and to see them move there. So that's my favorite place to be. But I also do love the employee engagement and working in especially small agencies and small firms where, you know, it might be up to 10 employees or so.
After hearing that, I can't wait to hear the answer to this next question about who the StrengthsFinder 2.0 is designed for. Is it just for us in the professional world or is it just for married couples? Tell me a little bit about that. Who's it designed for?
Yeah. And you know what? This is going to sound super cliche, but every single person could benefit from it. And here's the reason why is that we have a certain knowledge about who we are and what we have to offer. And when we can expand that knowledge about ourselves, but also be able to have a way to functionally share it with others, suddenly everything is more expansive. And so it's pertinent in personal relationships. It's pertinent in business. It's pertinent in parenting. I have two small children and I use this with my kids. And so it really does have validity all across the board. Where I think it's difficult to implement this is in brand new relationships, where it's always valuable to have the StrengthsFinder profile done for you so that you know you best so you can shine. But if you just are meeting somebody, the first question you're going to ask them is not, hey, what are your top five StrengthsFinder profile themes? because it just doesn't hold as much value there. But certainly everybody can. And statistically, what they say is just by virtue of naming your strengths, you can have a 7% improvement in your own performance, which I thought that's a very interesting statistic because, heck, if I can get a 7% edge just by spending 30 minutes getting to know myself a little bit better, that's valuable.
Right. Well, there's a lot to be said about the strength of self-awareness. And I think that's what that is speaking to.
Yeah.
So you've already talked about the StrengthsFinder assessment being valid. So meaning that it tests the same thing across the board. If 100 people take the test, it tests the same thing for all of us.
Right.
So I assume that was research-based, right? Is there research to back this up?
Yeah, it is. And in fact, I am going to send you the technical report, which is basically the why we believe this is valid report. And you can certainly upload the PDF to your show notes page if you'd like to. But in a nutshell, Donald Clifton is sort of the father of the strengths movement, of the strengths profile, and it was born out of positive psychology. And he got really tired back in 1960 of everyone focusing on the weaknesses so much. So he put a whole team together and spent the next 40 years researching this theory that if they focused on the good things, they focused on the positive and the people's strengths that they brought to the table, that would actually have a bigger benefit than focusing on fixing weaknesses. So I am no statistician, but there is 40 years of research that went into the production of this profile.
It's great to hear. And we will definitely put the links to that in the show notes. So I can't wait to jump into this. So I've taken the full report. And yeah. On Maximize Your Strengths podcast that Alyssa hosts, we already went through my top five, and I will put a link to that episode in our show notes as well so people can get that full picture. But today we're going to talk about how to use the entire 34 strengths. What do I do with this knowledge now that I have it?
Right. It's such a good question because when you get that full report, you have 34 different strengths. And they're all ordered and there's copious amounts of information and it can be pretty overwhelming. And so very often I recommend to people to do what you did, which was get your top five first. And then when you've had a chance to kind of study those, embrace those, look at what those have to offer, then unlock the 6 through 34. And that's exactly what you did as well. So that, you know, the top five are really your easy buttons. They're the ones that you're going to lean into the quickest. If you're looking at it from a lens perspective, they're the ones that are in your front view. And then, you know, you move on to the 6 through 11 or 12 or 15. And those are kind of your peripheral view strengths. And so you can pull those in as you need them. And then below 15, we consider that your blind spot. So you just don't have ready access to those different strengths. So that's kind of how we read the entire 34 profile. And if you're anything like me, Colleen, I'm interested to hear what the first thing you did when you got your full report.
I went to look to see what were the next five after my top five. I think I did that because we had already had the session mm-hmm. where we talked about the top five and in particular, the things that I didn't have in my top five that surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is that I'm very action oriented. You know, I'm always doing a million things and building the business and everything else, but I didn't have an executor strength in my top five. So I wanted to know where that lied. And now I don't really know if I even had one in my top 10 then because they don't tell me if it's an executor or thinking strength.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. I was curious about what were my next five to see like what were just on the periphery that I probably pull in more than I might be aware of sometimes.
Brilliant. And that's awesome. I'm so glad that you did that. What many, many people do is they look at the very bottom one. What is my biggest weakness, right?
That was the second thing I did.
Yeah. So I'm very impressed that you went for the next top five. And it may have been because of the conversation we had. Now, I know you did have a question about where your executing strengths lie, because the executing strengths, for those of you listening, they're the strengths that are the boots on the ground. They help you to actually take action. What is the next thing I'm going to do today in order to get this task done? And then we have, you know, your strategic thinking mm-hmm. strengths, and those are your 30,000 foot view strengths that help you to sort of create the plan. If you think from a military standpoint, it's like, you know, sending in the drones that will look and see what the 30,000 foot view is. And then we also have relationship building themes, which are your one-to-one building relationships and your influencing. How do you influence over a crowd or over a group of people? And so what Colleen is alluding to is this, oh my gosh, I don't have an executing strength. I don't have a get it done strength in my top five. Where does the first one lie? And it's at number 9.
Okay.
Colleen, a ranger is an executing strength. So a ranger is a strength that is really good at organizing.
Which makes me laugh, because if anybody knows me, that is not one of my forefront strong points.
Right. But when you're looking at a puzzle, for instance, right, a ranger will go, ooh, okay, this matches over here. This makes sense for this to be over here. And it shifts and moves things in order for it all to fit together.
I see. And in that way, then I can relate to that, because I do look at things that way. Before we get too much into that, should we talk about real quick, run through what the top five are and what that profile might look like? And then we can talk about how the next five fit in there.
You bet. So from going from number one down to five, you have individualization first, which is a relationship building theme, strategic, which is clearly a strategic thinking theme, activator, which is an influencing theme, but it's a get up and let's go kind of theme. Then you have futuristic at number four, and ideation at number five. Mm-hmm. So I have a real quick one-liner sort of for all of those strengths. So I will get that over to you so that people listening can go, well, what do these each of these things mean? So we can give them that resource too.
Great. So I have that. And then interesting, in our episode, I was previously working on building a business with someone who, in where I had the activator strength in my top five, and she had the maximizer. And you were very mm-hmm. helpful in helping me decipher what the difference meant in that. And then I see now I have maximizer as number six.
Yeah.
So that was fun. And then I see a lot of relationship building ones, empathy, relator. And you said my first one is a relationship building one, which makes me feel pretty good about what I'm doing for a living here, you know, as a therapist. Everything I do is about relationships.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's very cool. I love to see the different strengths line up like they do. So yeah, you know, in your top 10, you have one strength that's technically an executing strength. But we discussed this when you were on my podcast about how it doesn't mean that you don't get things done. It's, you know, your strengths are the how you get things done and how you build relationships. And so you can lean into your maximizer in order to get things done. I mentioned that, you know, I have activator in my top five as well as you do. And my activator can really get a ton done under a deadline. Now, without a deadline, you know, sometimes I procrastinate and put things off. But boy, when push comes to shove, I can really kick that one up and use it as an executor when I need to, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
It does. It does. And I actually relate to that as well. I do very well under deadlines. So where would we go next with this?
So what we would probably do is we would look at this in a way of, A, where do you see these strengths show up for you? You know, just as a piece of awareness. And so we talk about those kinds of things, and we've had a chance to talk a little bit about that. But then also, okay, now where do you find yourself getting frustrated? Because frustrations arise when our strengths don't have their needs met, and or they don't have the contributions, what they're able to give, honored. So with regards to your maximizer, for instance, maximizer loves to make a good thing great. And if you're in a situation or a conversation where the other person says, no, this is good enough, it's fine how it is, we're not going to change this, we're not going to progress this, we're not going to do another iteration, that can be very frustrating, because what maximizer contributes is taking good to great. And so recognizing where those frustrations come up so that A, you can ask for what you need, And B, you can sort of mitigate, all right, well, I don't have control over X, Y, or Z. This is how I need to proceed. So it's not an all-in-one, like, hey, okay, so next thing is this. But when we start to become aware of where these frustrations are coming from, A, we can catch them earlier, and B, we can put words to the action that helps to mitigate those frustrations.
I see. So for me, like looking ahead at like where I might get frustrated, it probably goes to like those things that those core beliefs everybody has about like not being good enough. So I have significance and connectedness as number 12 and 13. Those I think show up in my relationships. It's one of those things where the definition I'm reading says that people who have this theme of significance want to be important in the eyes of others. So I feel like, well, am I narcissistic in that I have that trait? But I know that it's one of those things as being the, like, let's just say, apply it to my business. I'm the person who runs the business. So if I do things and things are going great, I don't have anybody going, hey, that was really significant that you did this. Yeah, so yeah. I think I lose a little bit of my own get up and go when I'm not feeling that that gets attended to. And then the learner one, is that learner input at number 14?
Yes, there is a strength as well called input. And those are a little bit different from one another, but oftentimes we see them together. So let's talk about your learner for just a moment here. So what was your initial thought about your learner?
That one also is one where I can find myself feeling stuck. I think time management is not one of my strengths. I think that I do so much action-oriented things that I end up not leaving enough time for the fact that I want to read all these great books that are out. I want to take all these workshops. I want to do all this stuff and stay up on my game everywhere. But it's when I feel that I haven't connected to that part of me in a while, I start feeling like everything's imploding. And really, sometimes yeah. I will just take a couple of days off and read because I feel like, well, I need to do that for myself. I need to get new information. I need to do things that feed my soul in that way.
Yeah.
So that can be one too, where I get a bit stuck.
Yeah. And learner is an interesting one because it loves the process of learning. And it's not in my top 15. And I was a little upset about it because I thought I really liked to learn. And learner as well likes to teach, right? Likes the flip side of that. Uh-huh. And what I finally had about myself anyway was I just kind of started laughing one day because I was like, oh, you know, I don't really like to learn. I just like to know. And so that was really interesting. But I do love reading books mm-hmm. because of that. And it feels like when I have the opportunity to sit down and read a book, that it's a luxury mm-hmm. because there is so much else to do. As you look at all of your different, you know, top 15, let's say, what can I do in order to feed this strength? And I always use the metaphor of all of your top strengths in a van, right? Like little people. I personify everything because it just helps me to manage it, right? And so every person in that van needs to be fed. So how do you do that in order to keep you whole? And so the more that you can learn bit by bit about your strengths, the more you can go, okay, in order to fulfill this strength, in order to feed it, this is something that's important to me. So it helps us with that prioritization because as entrepreneurs, we want to do everything. And we feel like we need to do everything, and yet we can't. So how do we prioritize what we're going to do and what we're going to engage in, who we're going to surround ourselves with if we don't know what's going to sort of feed our soul?
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And in looking at all of this, how do we use our strengths down at the bottom of the list, number 30 through 34?
Yeah, great question. So I'm going to say in a nutshell, you don't.
Okay. Well, then we're done.
So, and here's what I mean by that. And I think you'll resonate with this too, is consistency for you is at number 31. For me, it's at 34. It is really? The bottom of my strengths barrel. So, but see, and here, it's actually a good thing. It's good for us to be able to just say out loud, yeah, like, so this is not a strength that I lean into or am able to draw on. Mm-hmm. And so consistency, like eating the same breakfast every day and all of those things where it's like
the exercise routines,
right?
That go gung-ho for 3 weeks and then, you know, maybe not so strong.
Yeah, no, I mean, and it's totally activator plus lack of consistency, right?
Yes.
So if you need to do something consistently, like run a business, there's certain things that you have to do in order to be able to build momentum in your business. And so I sat back and I went, okay, I don't have consistency. And you're going to sit back too and go, okay, so I don't have ready access for consistency. I can force that, but it's actually going to drain my energy, which is the difference between our top strengths and our bottom strengths is our top strengths are going to give us energy by using them. And our bottom strengths will take energy from us. So we can get there. We can be consistent, but it may drain us. So I wear a uniform. A self-imposed uniform every single day. I have a logoed t-shirt and jeans, and that's what I wear 5 days a week. If I'm cold, I throw a logoed sweatshirt on, right? So that's okay. What I do. And I didn't get there because I'm consistent. What I realized was in the morning when I was getting dressed, I was spending a lot of energy thinking about what I wanted to wear. And I could wear this and it could do that. And should I change my makeup to match this and all of these things? What shoes should I wear, et cetera? And I was like, this is stupid. I'm spending my really good futuristic ideation, strategic brain cells on what I'm wearing. And so I used my strategic and my futuristic strengths in order to get to consistency. So I wanted to give those strengths more space, feed them more with other things. So now I get to think about, you know, what am I doing today and what am I doing in the future? And I don't have to worry about what I'm wearing. So I got to consistency, but I did it using strengths that I have ready access to.
And I think that I apply the same to the business. I actually go through the same thing with the clothes. So I have a closet full of outfits and I probably wear five. And I just exchange them and I try not to wear the same outfit on every Tuesday because I usually see the same clients on Tuesdays or Wednesdays or Thursdays. So I try to switch it up so they think I own more than one outfit. But but so I relate to that. But I think how you're saying, you know, I modify what I need to in order to keep things going with the business, keeping up the momentum and deciding how am I going to use these other strengths to propel me into doing something consistently, even though consistency is not my natural ability. And then the other one that surprised me in the last one was adaptability. I always saw myself as someone who was very adaptive. So I must be, again, using some other combination of strengths to make that happen. I mean, for what I do as a therapist, I mean, I need to be flexible and adaptive and non-judgmental and open to whatever and whoever walks into my office and whatever situation they bring to the table.
And individualization will help you with that because individualization is a strength that looks at somebody exactly who they are, how they are, and it doesn't judge.
See, and that's my number one strength. And then adaptability is my almost next to last
and
strength.
So you're using your individualization very likely to individualize care for that particular client. And, you know, individualization, it also kind of likes to break the rules, not because it likes to break rules, but because this rule doesn't apply to this person because they have a different situation going on. And, you know, we might need to adjust this and try a different angle over here. And so maybe this consequence for this particular thing doesn't really work there. So it feels very adaptable because you're looking at each individual person as the individual person, what's best for them, what'll work for them. And so you are getting to that adaptable place, but you're doing it through individualization.
How interesting.
So another place that I think that is really helpful to use the bottom of your strengths is to then also start to engage people who you see these strengths in. So, you know, deliberative happens to be your number 34, and deliberative is a strength that very seriously weighs pros and cons and is slow to make a decision. But then once that decision is made, it's solid and it will then follow through with whatever decision that it has made. And so my husband has deliberative in his top five, which balances me with my activator. So my activator will jump out of a plane without a parachute because I'd say, it's time to go. Let's go. Come on. And, you know, he's the guy that taps me on my shoulder and says, sweetheart, would you like to put a parachute on? That might be a good first move. And, you know, weighing the pros and the cons and what bad could happen here, what good could come out of this. And so he slows me down a little bit and I yank him forward into action a little bit. And so it has also been a point of conflict, certainly. But
sure, I can imagine.
Yeah, but respectful conflict because we know that both of us are bringing these strengths to the table. So it's now the conversation isn't, why are you being so stubborn and you don't want to move? And he's, why are you being so impulsive? It turns that conversation to, okay, so I know that what you need is to be able to have time to weigh the pros and cons. When can we reconvene? Because I'm really excited about this thing and I want to get moving. And these are all the reasons I'm excited about this thing. And so then we have an opportunity to actually work our strengths in synergy. That's where the StrengthsFinder profile starts to sing for me, is when you can bring these different strengths together to create that synergy.
Yeah. And when you say that, I think about the different friends that I have and how they live their lives. And I think if I had them all take their top five or maybe into the top 10, I'd have a good handful of my very close friends probably balance out some of those strengths where I'm lacking. I do have friends that are very consistent people. I have ones who are very restorative and very harmonious, all where I'm not my strengths. But maybe this is why I love chaos and I gravitate towards that and help people through that in their lives. So that's really interesting to look at from that perspective, is pulling people closer that have those balancing strengths.
Yeah. And, you know, one last area where I think that the StrengthsFinder profile is really, really valuable is when you see somebody doing things and behaving in a way and presenting themselves in a way that makes you angry, that really frustrates you. When you look at it from a strengths perspective and start to get curious about what are they bringing, right? What overuse patterns might they be using? It allows us that little bit of space to go take the emotion out a little bit. And rather than immediately want to cast stones at them, you start to just wonder what strengths they might be bringing to the table. And now you can approach this with a little bit more compassion. It's not to say that those behaviors are okay, but, you know, and this isn't a political show, and trust me, this isn't going in a political route, but I use this example because I think it's pertinent. I had to do this during the entire campaign cycle leading up to the election because I could not understand how our candidates were all behaving. And so when I started to go, I wonder if he has significance and it's just in overuse here. Or I wonder if she has X or Y strength and maybe it's just in overuse here. Maybe she's got competition. And so it allowed me a little bit of space to just think about them from a perspective of curiosity. And that's a really extreme example. And it's been, you know, a tumultuous time for our country as we're going through all of this. But it's a really helpful way to start looking at how could we actually come together to find agreement instead of just wanting to throw people over cliffs.
Yeah, it's a great way. And I think it's a great example. And we should say we're recording this the week after the election. But how relevant that is, and a great example of how to gain some empathy for others by using the strengths to understand, and as you said, be curious about what is fueling others' behaviors.
Absolutely.
This has been fantastic. And I am really looking forward to, you know, chatting more with you over time about my strengths and how to best use them. And I want to let everybody know that. I mean, you can tell Alyssa knows her stuff here. And so although I said she's in St. Paul, Minnesota, you can actually reach out to her online and get coaching from her no matter That's where right. you are. So Alyssa, why don't you tell people where they can
absolutely.
Reach you?
Absolutely. So the best place to reach me is on my website. It's daretosucceed.com. It's D-A-I-R-E, the number 2, succeed.com. And there you can actually go ahead and book either a 15-minute connection call with me so we can just hop on the phone and kind of get connected and see where you're at and if something like a strategy session is something that would be of help to you. Or if you know that this is something that you want to investigate a little further, you can go ahead and book an introductory strategy session where we get to spend an hour together, typically on video conference, because then I can see your eyeballs and vice versa. And we can just connect and talk over where you are, where you'd like to be, and what are some of the struggles along the way. And that is something that I cover the cost of because it's the only way I take on new clients. And it's important to me to take on the right clients. So that's how you get to interview me and vice versa.
Well, that's wonderful. And in our show notes, in addition to having the links to that PDF that Alyssa talked about earlier, so you can better understand the one-line definitions of all the strengths, and also the episode that I was on of Maximize Your Strengths podcast, I'm also going to ask Alyssa for her top 3 favorite episodes, and we'll put those in the show notes as well.
Oh, yay. This will be exciting.
And I will say, I'm hoping my personal favorite is the one with your little kids. And So I'm hoping everybody gets to hear that along with some of the other great guests that you've had on the show. So it's a little sampling of what you have to offer in the Maximize Your Strengths podcast. So Alyssa, it was great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for being with me on the Coaching Through Chaos podcast.
Thank you. It was so good to be here.
That was definitely an eye-opening interview for me. In the show notes, we'll have links to the explanation page for the list of strengths, the tech report backing up the validity of the tool, and we'll also have links to my original interview with Alyssa on her podcast, Maximize Your Strengths, in which you can hear her more deeply explain how my top 5 strengths can be used to enhance my life, as well as the links to Alyssa's 3 favorite episodes. Remember that Alyssa can walk you through the process of the StrengthsFinder assessment and coach you on it no matter where you are. Isn't video conferencing a great thing? Okay, next up is an interview that really got personal for me. My guest next month is Jonathan Singer. He's host of the Social Work Podcast. Jonathan is also a university professor, therapist, and expert on suicide. We definitely explore the things that you'll want to know about kids and teens who may be suicidal, but we also take a bit of a deep dive into my experience as a survivor of a sibling suicide. There were parts of this interview that were definitely tough for me to get through. I do hope that if you've struggled with the loss of a loved one to suicide, that you benefit from me putting my personal experience on the air for you. All right, on to the credits and how to support us. If you like what we're doing, the best thing that you can do to support us is to, number one, subscribe. You can do this on iTunes if you're an Apple user, or you can do this in any of the Android-friendly podcast listening apps. My preference is Podcast Addict, but see which one is most user-friendly for you. Then, once you've subscribed, we'd love for you to leave us a review on iTunes. Both of those actions help us stay on the front pages of iTunes, which then keeps us in the sightline of people exploring, looking for something new to listen to. If you've already done that, I just want to say I'm so grateful for your support. And now I want to thank Dr. B for his fabulous editing and artwork for each episode, and BennettSullivanMusic.com for my theme music. Well, until next time, this is Dr. Colleen Mullen signing off. If you've got chaos in your life, I hope you're finding your way through it. Take care.